Yeah, that is definitely your testimony. Go ahead.
From the beginning of the school year to the end of the school year, I felt like God has changed my outlook on school. Because coming into high school, I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. Like, I don't like school. And now I'm going to Shippensburg University tomorrow as a freshman, and I had to beg to go on this trip because they don't let freshmen go on college trips. So it, and then I was picked for a leadership role to go on another event tomorrow, but I can't go unless I go to Shippensburg. I have to pick one or the other. So, yeah.
God's with you. You just have to have faith in Him. Mm-hmm. And keep it. You can't let the devil interfere there with this little innuendo. Can't let him do that to you.
That's great. From one generation to another. Very close generation. Very close in age generation.
Not
you won't
that
say how close. Very close in age. One generation to another.
That's a great, that's a good word. Anyone else with maybe a testimony or a thought? How's your... heart.
Are your back? I think it's my neck.
Your neck? Causing palpitations.
Yeah, because when they come on, if I arch my back and stretch my neck, they go away. So I think it's got to be my neck.
Like a pinched, something pinched, maybe?
I have no idea.
Or potentially cutting off oxygen?
That's what I think.
That's... You going to tell
them
that when you go in?
Well, yeah. I was supposed to go this past Monday, but the doctor was sick. So they canceled all appointments. So now I have to go next Monday. So
let's pray for that, for her, for this doctor, and then take us to the bottom of it. And if it is something either pinched or maybe an oxygen supply situation that...
I think it's cutting the oxygen off. Because of the pressure.
Our lengthy time in medical school has both trained us to believe that, I'm kidding. But let's just believe God that if that's the case, then He'll get to the bottom of it, or if that's symptom of something else, that He'll get to the bottom of it. Okay?
Yeah, I hope it's
about
time.
We also want to keep Harold in prayer, right? Kind of battle stomach problems from time to time, right?
Yeah, his thing is more like he has asthma. And he is just like, I think it was Saturday, that since we was out all day, and we ate so much, like, never before. And I think it was like, it was raining,
okay.
It was cold, and all that played a role.
It was way too much for him.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And then he, I was telling him, Shalia took her shower. I didn't hear from her up to 10 in the next morning. Like, she did not wake up or nothing. And this is a child that sleeps with me. So she needs to be right beside me. She went up to her own room. Harold's coughing. He's getting on my nerves. I'm leaving. And she went right upstairs.
Wow.
Yeah. But we was up all night, and, he did sleep a little bit and stuff. Yeah. And he did pretty well today. Like, today he went to work with me. So he was at work all day with me. And then we walked home, and he was fine.
Okay.
So I'm just hoping it's just that. And the change of, seasons and all that. Really messes with him.
I saw you. There was hay there.
Yeah.
And see, I have seasonal asthma, and it's very much and it's very much connected to hay. So if he was around a lot of hay and that kind of weather,
the hay ride and everything.
Yeah, that hay ride, it would have been a death ride for me.
Yeah.
It'd been burying me on the way out. It was. I was like wrestling. Do I go? Do I not go? And I'm like, no, I won't go. I'm so glad after I saw that the pictures. That would have been like.
Yeah, it was hay.
Wow.
It actually was a very good event, though. Like, they loved it, and they was...
I heard it was horrible.
No,
I'm kidding.
My two, like, they called my mom as soon as we got home, and they started constantly talking and talking. She couldn't get a word in. Grandma, we did this. Grandma, we did this. She said, well, they didn't let me talk to them. Because then they were like, I'm going to put mommy back on the phone. So she was like, they sound like they had a lot of fun. I said, they was fine. Even though it was raining and they didn't mind. I think I mind more than they did.
I know, we minded a little.
Yeah, it was cool. But yeah, they had a wonderful time, though.
Well, I'm glad. Mm-hmm. So we'll keep those two in prayer. And then just, you can be thinking Pastor Elmer and Irene will go away for their vacation. So we won't see them which is nice for them to have a great time in Williamsburg, Virginia. And then, you know, just be thinking about the upcoming summer. But in about 2 weeks, we will have a 1 week of prayer every night at the church for whoever wants to come. It'll be what we call prayer and praise, so there'll be music as well. So we'll kind of sing and pray and sing and pray for a couple of hours. Just really thinking about, like, even as I was driving here from the church, and I probably saw at least 100, if not 200 people on the way. And just thinking about this city and the opportunities of the summer, and just that we could just really be burdened and focused on the right things. We've begun this series on spiritual warfare. And a little bit just what Mary just said, you know, there is a real Satan, a real devil, and he is uninterested in us just even reaching out, and he would prefer us to reach in, and then he would also prefer us just to be, as Pastor Jay said on last Sunday, on the sidelines. So every one of you in this room is going to have to resist that urge. There'll be a lot of reasons. The one thing about Satan, he studies us. He studies us, and he knows exactly what he can whisper to us that would put us on the sidelines. He will get you caught up in church politics or church relationships or family relationships or work relationships. You know, these are all the things he'll get you caught up in, or just what we call details of life, things that'll come at you financially, things that'll come at you. There'll be things, and at the end of it, I mean, I was talking with someone pretty recently, and I remember, like, God had done this, they had made this declaration in their life, and within, like, a month, it was like the declaration had never been made. Mm-hmm. All of these things had come in very nicely. They weren't like these bad, Satan doesn't come in wearing horns and says, I'm Satan, look at me. Okay. You know, he's not like... But all of these things that came in, and, you know, she realized that, my God, what in the world happened? So there'll be things. So it's important to set your priorities. Priorities are like true north on a compass. It's like you have to set your north. Everyone in this room, you have to set your north. Your north is things that will come at you, and you're going to, like, you may, like, you know, with compass, you know, you kind of, whoa. And come back to north. Every one of us is going to drift. Every one of us is going to drift. It is not about the fact that if you're on a water and if you're with a boat, it isn't that the boat doesn't sometimes drift. It's that you bring it back. Okay? But you have to know where back is at. Set your priorities even now, because if you don't set them, Satan sets them for you. And before you know it, the things that were most important in your life are now gone. Okay? The world has certain priorities. Every man will bless you if you do well for yourself. It's a great verse in the Bible. If you concentrate all on your family, if you concentrate all on money, you concentrate all on these things, the world, that's what they concentrate on. That's not our concentration. Because the world is not thinking about anybody else but themselves and those right next to them. But our concentration is different, so it is going to take a focus to do that, ladies. It's not by accident. It doesn't happen by accident, okay? You know, they say that even a blind squirrel can find a nut once in a while. sometimes accidentally, if you will, you things can go spiritually well, but they don't long term. You find a good thing spiritually and you hold on to it, okay? You you say, okay, these things are going to come against me, but by God's grace, okay, I'm going to be at church. Why? Because church is where I get built up. I get built up there. You know what I mean? If like it's tough enough to find the right church. I mean, there are a lot of places that you just don't want to be. You walk in and you want to walk out. You know, and it's like there are a lot of times. So when you find people who actually look around and you say, I'm comfortable here, then you hang on to it. Hang on to it, because that's the very thing Satan's going to attack. Okay? You find, this Bible study, you hang on to it. You find whatever God gives you. He gives you songs in the night, so to speak. A little word in season from Him. A promise from Him. Something that's said that sticks with you. Let it stick with you and hang on to it. Sometimes, some seasons in your life, that's all you got. And keep the small things small. We as ladies, we have an amazing ability to make a small thing the most incredibly large thing in the world. It's a special ability of ours. But it's disastrous for relationships, disastrous for our walk with God. Keep the small things small. So that you're not harping on these things for 1 week, 2 weeks. And it's true, I've known where people will not speak to each other or they strongly disagree or wait, oh, you know what? Be ye angry and sin not. Meaning like, okay, you disagree, move on. Last I checked, God said He would provide all of our needs, right? Mm-hmm. Nobody's going to get in the way of what have you. Nobody's going to take from you what's not yours. You're going to, remember we said it when we talked about God's goodness, I said how when I was younger, God spoke that to me. Anybody remember that? And I said, when I was younger, it was really important to me because I didn't know God's goodness. And once I had that revelation, I realized that no one was going to take from me anything that God intended to give me. Remember I told you I went to that book sale and I got all nervous at the book sale, you know, and like, that's the thing. So here's the thing. Keep that in mind. Keep the small things small. They can come big really fast. And it seems like it's going to, and I was thinking about it, like, you know, you can go like 10 years down the road and you won't even remember any of this. But you will remember a life. I got somebody contacted me just a couple days ago and I haven't spoken to them in a long while. And then somebody else contacted me right after that, same idea. And I sat there, I was remembering and it was just very sweet. And I remember thinking all these things I was with, and she's, you know, she's got a couple kids and one's about to graduate high school. And, you know, she's from South America. When I was kind of a missionary down further, and she came out to the ladies' Bible study and she struggled. She had two daughters and she was living with the guy. And she realized this is not God. So she moved out. That was a big decision. She had to raise these two daughters on her own. She fought for them. And now this one daughter is about to graduate from high school and I'll go to the graduation. But I was just so, we just kept reminiscing, you know, thinking about things. Now she works for the District Court of Maryland. Then she remarried. Like all of these things that, because she put her priorities of God first. It cost her. When she left this guy because it cost her. She said, he's not going to get married, he's not going to go to church, he's not going to whatever, basically, not going to marry me. It cost her. But I look at her now, God has so blessed her. And it almost seems like a lifetime ago. And it was hard. I mean, I remember I had to go to court with her at one point. And I remember her being incredibly sick and I had to race down the highway and I had to take care of her girls. I mean, I remember a lot. But, you know, and she was remembering, she said, because she was translating Spanish at a recent church service, and she was using the Bible that we had given her. And I don't even remember giving her that Bible. And so she was contacting me, thinking about that. But I just thought, this woman made some big decisions as a single mom and fought for her children to know God. I mean, fought for them. She made me laugh because she's going to have her daughter's high school graduation party at Wheaton Park in Maryland. And her daughter does not want to have it there, even though she's Hispanic, because she said there will be too many Hispanics there. And we were laughing our heads off because I know her daughter, and like we're I was laughing, but I'm still having him there. I'm like, you go, but just enjoying her life and the life of God in her children. See, right now it may not look like, and if there are things that maybe aren't going to happen, even in the next few days, or don't happen, or what have you, your way. Remember, like God is never a debt; He will never be a debtor to you. He pays in dividends. Honestly, you've got to wait for it. And she's a prime example of that. And it wasn't easy. There were times I went and I could see there's no food in the house. And we'd have to kind of sneak food in. Like, I mean, honestly, it was tough for her. But now to see her, she is living proof of the goodness of God. But she kept her priorities. Keep your priorities. I was at her wedding. You know, and we help. It was just there's a sweetness about the whole thing, and it was amazing because she has one daughter, and when I was younger, I mean when she was younger, sorry, very young, her daughter. I told her she reminds me of actually you, and I was telling her about you because her young daughter, when her daughter has asthma, and when she was young, there were some serious moments in her life. And one time her daughter calls me up and wants me, I'm like in a public place, but wants me to sing to her because she knew I sang and played the guitar. And I'm like singing at this restroom, having a meeting, and I'm in the middle, I'm singing to this little girl so she could go to sleep. You know, and just little moments, you know, so she sent me this video of her daughter now who's 15. And she's playing this little mini guitar and she's singing Amazing Grace. And I was so just broken, just, you know, broken over like the goodness of God and in a person's life. So, you know, you can just decide that these priorities are going to stay your priorities and forget everything else. And God will honor your life. He just will. He will. Over and over again, I have never not seen him. And then I got a phone call the next, like 10 minutes later from another, you know, when I knew her, I was her team leader. And, you know, she was young. And she also was Hispanic. But she's full grown, married. She has her mom died. And when her mom died, she had to take her siblings in. And now she's raising them. So she went to become insta-mom. And now she just became a mom again. I mean, a real mom, you know, from the womb mom. And she's got this big burden for teens. And she was just telling me about it. And I was just blessed. Her husband works at a shelter. But do you see, like, this stuff is real. And it can be very real for, she was a teen from the streets of Hyattsville, Maryland. Okay, it's like, and now she's this young married woman with this heart of gold after God. All of this stuff is real. It's just decisions. It's not location. It's just decisions. It's not age. It's just decisions. It really is. Because in the same area, I knocked on one man's door and it changed his life. And he was near death. He just was so depressed. He was near suicide. And his whole life got changed around. And I see him around now and I'm amazed. He was about, when I knocked on his door, he was about 70. You know, you don't know, like you don't know, but, and we are like that. You don't know about the person this summer that you could reach out to, and you don't know about yourself on what you could be. You're just ignorant, and so am I. And that's the beauty of being a Christian, is that it is a privilege to be ignorant and not to think I know, because you can't know. There's a great chapter, and it talks about, it's called the resurrection chapter, actually. But it really just talks about how things can be sown in dishonor, but raised in honor. But when you put the seed into the ground, you don't know what it's going to become. But it becomes so much, something completely different. And I think of this one woman, and she's completely different. And I think of this other woman, she's completely different. I think of this gentleman who's door, and he's completely different. I think of my own life, and I'm completely different than I was 30 years ago. So we don't know. So keep the small things small and focus on the important things. And let God just change your world, because we're ignorant. You know, and that kind of goes into what I want to talk about tonight. Tonight, the attribute I want to talk about is the patience of God. There's something about God's patience that absolutely every believer should embrace. The world mocks it at times. It doesn't believe that, you know, that, you know, how can you believe that God is patient because you don't believe God? It's one thing about patience. Because God is patient, he hasn't changed anything around me. So he lets the world and people walk about and do what they do. But that's that for us as Christians, we see through the invisible. We see him who is invisible, so we know that God is patient. And that's why you get to swear like that and still breathe. Right? That's why you get to take the Lord's name in vain and you're still breathing. That's why maybe you committed that horrible crime and you're in jail and God didn't kill you right away. Because there is a God in heaven and he is patient. But many men and women of God around the earth, they, as they worship with them, they either worship something or themselves. And Satan doesn't care what type of idolatry that I practice, but everyone's got religion. Make no mistake, everyone has religion. They either worship God, they worship themselves, or they worship something else. But everybody's got religion. Now, you know, when I'm on the street and they tell me they're an atheist, and I'm like, how's that self-worship going? Because since you just made yourself breathe, then apparently you'll decide when it ends. That's how, how's that self-worship going? And those who are worshiping something else around them, or they may worship money, they may worship an idol, they may worship in other religions. Everybody worships something because we were born to worship. We were. And we either worship, so many people worship their emotions. We all worship. But God says, but God in his patience, he lets that happen. It's amazing to me. He doesn't come down on us. He's not, you know, he's not right there at the next thing that I did. He doesn't. He's not right there to end it all. I'm not saying that God doesn't chastise. I am saying that God doesn't end it. And there's a big difference. When you know the game is over, the game is over. Those who have had, we've had relatives passed, and the game is over. I heard that someone, I forget whose testimony that is, but that they... I know who it is, but I won't say it because I'm not sure it's public. But that, you know, she came to Christ mainly because she watched a loved one die and saw the horror in their eyes as they took their last breath. I mean, that is a hard way to come to Christ because that memory isn't there. But there was a patience of God all the way to that last breath. This is an attribute of God. It says in John 13 that he loved his own until the end. And then in 1 Corinthians 13, the one attribute, it's an attribute of an attribute. Love is patient. Isn't that interesting? It's the attribute of an attribute. Love is patient. And we still get this picture again in Romans 2:4 that there is, that do we despise God's goodness, his endurance, knowing that it's his kindness that leads to us to repentance. The goodness of God is tied to the patience of God. The fact that God is good to me. He's patient. They're connected. But love is patient as well. And I want to say this because it is an important reminder to us. I am like, it scares me a little bit. And I'm going to show a little bit of my fear. And let's turn to Luke chapter 20. Christ, you know, he shares a parable here. Luke Okay. So, in verse 9, then he spake a parable, this parable to the people. A certain man planted a vineyard, and then he basically rented it out to some people. And he went into a far country for a long time. And at the season that he is thinking that I'm going to get a crop, he sent a servant to the people he lent it to and said, you should give me of the fruit of my vineyard. But the people who worked at the vineyard, they beat the servant and sent him away empty. Now remember, they don't own the land. They're stewards of the land. And he just came and asked for the fruit of the land. He lets them live there. He lets them prosper there. And he now just asks for the fruit. And the next verse, in verse 11, and he sent another servant. And they beat him also. Oh. And they treated him shamefully and sent him away. Let's stop for a second. This is interesting. It's like, it's not your place. It's not your place. It's not, you're living here. This is the plight of humanity. This forgetfulness and the patience of God. This ignoring and the patience of God. This brash boldness, arrogance of man and the patience of God. Satanic. Because is not Satan himself acting like he owns the entire universe? And it doesn't belong to him. And one day, there's going to be a reckoning. We read through the whole Bible, and we get to the last book, and the last book is The Reckoning. And it's a book of horror. And it's a book of judgment. Because there must be judgment, and there must be justice. It is not for the believer, but it is for the believer to know that God also is justice. And God also is judgment. And there is a real hell, which is why there is a burden for York. Why there is a burden for the world. Because there is a real hell. And God is not playing. But God is patient. And unfortunately, Satan seemingly takes advantage of this patience of God, just like these people did. Shamefully treat the next servant. And again he sent a third, and they wounded him also and cast him out. And then said the Lord of the vineyard, this verse to me, it is the verse of all verses in this section. What shall I do? I will send my beloved son. It may be they will reverence him when they see him. The God of all heaven says, what shall I do? There are two Greek words, and this is going to begin a little mini series on this attributes of God. We're going to stay on the patience of God for at least one or two. And we'll talk about, but there are two Greek words, makrothumia and hupomeno. Okay? These two words speak of patience. One speaks of patience with people, when people do things to you. And the other speaks of patience with circumstances, things that happen to me. And both the Bible speaks of, and both God is. Okay? He is absolutely, we understand, patient with us. But also when he came down and he walked the earth, was he not also patient with the circumstances when he hung him on a tree? Absolutely. So here, this is the Lord of all, and he is saying, what shall I do? And in the middle of, like, in one sense, this macrothumia, what shall I do? And honestly, throughout maybe a day, to the world and also to Christians, because we are so forgetful. I'm fascinated. We are that way easily with each other. if we live a life in this day and age of what have you done for me lately? What have you done for me lately? It is so easy to forget the debt of honor, like right here, that I owe. I can be so thankful yesterday for something somebody did for me, and tomorrow or the next day, I am just like, I am uninterested. I'll help you. I'll do anything for you. I'm with you or whatever. And then 2 days later, honestly, I act what have you, and I justify it. I'm having a bad day. I had a bad day. I whatever. It was a great message last night, which really I thought was incredible, but it was in the church in Baltimore, which is really the home base. But the message was, you know, that better is a man that rules his spirit. Part of ruling my spirit is that I understand, and it's not, there's no one here to stand up and say, wait a minute. Wait a minute, everyone. We don't even own this vineyard. We have eaten here. We have lived here in peace. It has been lent to us. All he is asking for is the fruit of the harvest. He's not taking from us. He has come and in kindness, and he has repeatedly asked in kindness, wait a minute. Is there anybody in the room to say, wait a minute? Or is the God of heaven saying, what shall I do? God himself, this is real power, and this is real patience. The ability to limit yourself to the whims of other people. Amazing. Who are these people to tell him? And yet, his next thought is, and we would say, no, Lord, don't do it. Look at them. And he says, I'm going to send my son. No, God, the angels in heaven, you know what the Bible says, angels kind of look into these things. They're kind of looking down on earth to see what's happening. And like, so they're looking, and it's like, are you kidding me? You're going to send your son? I mean, they didn't listen to you. They're not your son. And we know that he did send his son. It wasn't hard for that prophecy to come true, the prophecies to come true. He was crucified. He was treated shamefully. And that's exactly. He said, they'll reverence him when they see him. But when they saw him, they thought to themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him. The inheritance will be ours. Uh-huh. What? What thinking is that? What makes you think that now you inherit the land because you kill his son? How twisted is that? Did not Satan try to kill the seed from the moment Mary had him, was having him? The wise men had to go back another way. All of the little boys under the age of 2, were they not hacked to death? Since he was a child, David and Joseph had to go down and he had to hide in Egypt. All the way up, Satan tried to kill him. What is the deal, saying, do you think you will become an heir? Because what people forget when they mess with the patience of God is they actually take patience for weakness. And somehow he does not be. Do you not think this guy who gave you this land is still more powerful than you? Apparently not. So they cast him out. And they killed him. The others, they just beat them a little bit. They killed him. And it says, and this is interesting, what therefore shall the Lord of the vineyard do to them? Isn't that easy? What's he going to do? Peter told all of Israel after the crucifixion and resurrection, he said, you killed the Holy One of Israel. You killed him. He shall come and he shall destroy them, and he shall give the vineyards to others. And in a sense, we are the others. We are the Gentiles. We are the dogs. We are the little dogs, if you will. And we have believed. And because we believed, we have not taken his patience for granted. But if we read Hebrews, and we're going to look at Hebrews 11, there is a space that God has given that you and I, we fit into. We squeezed into. We're not Jews. We squeezed into the space and we said, us, Lord, we believe you. And God says, then okay, then you're mine. And so we have become spiritual Jews. We have become spiritual sons and daughters by right of the death of his son. The patience of God has let us in. And we're in. Not because of our merit, not because of what we've done, not because of who we are, but because God's patience let us in. And the world can mock, and it does. And the world can go about its business. Even as we speak these things, as I was driving the streets, there were enough drug deals going on in front of me. Even as we do these things, there is the patience of God tonight. One more chance. Some of you know that we've decided as a church to work with Teen Haven, and one young man is with us and is under our care. And we, Pastor Jay, went to court on Wednesday to speak on his behalf, and now he's with us. His name is Angel Cruz, and you'll see him on Sundays with Pastor Joe right now. And basically he eats, drinks, and sleeps, and that's what judges released him. One more chance. I don't know where, you know, tomorrow maybe you say again, one more chance. No one in this room knows when the one more chances end. But every morning of Lamentations 3, I wake up and I know that there are new mercies and he's patient with me. If I am still breathing, he is patient with me. But to the world, and he has said, what shall I do? And he has given his son. But there will come a day, and there is a reckoning. So what is that to me as a believer? Well, number one, it makes me have a healthy respect and understanding. Sometimes it amazes me how believers do not care whether someone else comes to Christ or not. Do you want this person next to you to burn in hell? There is a reckoning coming. You and I will not be able to stop it. We will not be able to stop, jump in front of the wrath of God. It's coming. But it's a righteous wrath. Everyone is given so much opportunity. But there's a reckoning, because they will say, we will not have this man to reign over us. You will not get it. But God will say, what have I done to deserve this? But I am God, and I am just. And patience, God is patience, but God is just. There must be justice. And as much as we would say, we understand that within us, I said, we worship. You can tell there's something in us wants to worship. There's something in us that screams out, justice. 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 And God said, it's coming. In fact, in Revelation, there's a portion there, and maybe we'll get to it maybe next time, but the portion there, the martyrs, the ones who've been killed for their faith, and they say, how long? How long? How long? And God says, just a little more. Just a little more. And that's one thing. But what else does it mean to us as believers? Romans 2:4, do we despise his goodness? Are we unfortunately like this as his children? We forget his patience. We forget. We allow ourselves to forget. We can make our, my mom used to call it convenient forgetting, right? Mm-hmm. We were children. And we would say, oh no, I forgot, you know, somebody said something to me a while ago or whatever, and I'm just like, that's interesting. Is it convenient forgetting? It's just like, is it something that fits, like, is it something I do because it's like, I am no different in maybe my actions, though I will never go to hell. I will never go to hell. I will never go to hell. I am born again. You are born again. You are born again. You are born again. Hell is not a destiny for the Christian. That's such crap teaching that you can lose your salvation. That God was, he's so powerful, but apparently he can't keep his children. That would be like your children being able to say one day they lose their last name. And they're not their last name anymore. Oops, oops, you got your, oops, you're my child. Oops, you're not. Oops, oh, you're not. I've read of stories of men on death row, and there's mom just there. She's the only one still there. You know, if she can keep her, the relationship and keep and say, that's still my son, but God in heaven, for some reason, he's fickle. Depending on, he didn't see how bad I was going to sin. So apparently, God's a dumb God. When he said salvation, he made it dependent upon me. Well, if it's dependent upon me, what good was Christ coming to die on the cross? Why send his son? So that is horrible doctrine, and it has enslaved many, many, many people. It's horrible doctrine, and it doesn't even make sense. It doesn't make sense. Okay, that aside, we're all going to heaven. But it is possible as Christians that we can, in our mind and in our actions, be no different than these people here. We can very much be with this forgetful. We can have this arrogance that makes ourselves bigger than God. That we actually treat his patience as weakness. We actually treat his patience as if we actually begin to strip God from his attributes. God doesn't see this. He's not omniscient. God is not in this. He's not powerful here. He's not omnipotent. God himself, there are things that he desires of us, and that is growth. And in patience, he waits for it. He is the great gardener, and he is waiting. Just like he expected a crop from these people, there is an expectation, and he will come around for his expectation. And there are just a couple of things that I want to say for us, the believer. The reverence of who God is, I think we have. But know this, number one, God is never in his patience going to force me to be spirit-filled, force me to walk in his ways. He just is not going to do it. That's what makes him patient. He restrains himself. He will not force me. He did not force Eve not to take of the fruit. He does not force me. God will not. But the second thing is also important. He will not leave me alone. Now, I'm not talking about I'm never alone, Hebrews 13:7. I'm talking about he is relentless, just like he was here. He sent first one servant, and then another servant, and then his son. Do you understand? God will be sending. He will speak. He is relentless. He does not lower his standard, but he will not force me to his standard. But he will send messenger after messenger by God, by his grace and his patience. But he will not lessen what he would desire of my life. He desires certain things for my life. And he will wait for perfect timing. He will send, but he is relentless. Now I can be like them, and I can say no good. No, I'm not. I don't want this. I don't want this. You know, what have you? I can absolutely become incredibly forgetful of the fact that who God is. I can. And that really, he's still God at the end of the day, and I'm just a human being. He desires my company. I should be forever grateful for that. But he also requires my obedience, and I should expect that. Right? If you have children, you desire their company, you know, and they expect that, your mom. But the other thing is, you require their obedience, and they should expect that. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And God, in his patience, is expecting obedience. And he will not lower his standards. You know? Why? Because he, and this is the third, final point, because he has a plan. And his plan is for my good. You can't get to Jeremiah 29:11. We love that verse, all, you know, that God has, you know, got a plan for me, an expected end, what have you. You can't get that without God's patience in my life and his desire for my company and expectation of my obedience. That lies under the umbrella of his patience. Though you who raise children, there is a patience you have in raising. You who ever raised a garden, I mean, a garden to me is one of the best examples because there is no immediate anything in a garden. There's always waiting. You know? Sometimes you wait an entire year. And the best gardeners sometimes seem to destroy it. And then it's much more beautiful. You know? So God, I mean, I'm looking at this tree. I kept staring at it because it's got these white little blossoms. A whole year to wait for that, right? So you don't know. You have no idea when it comes to, like, God waits. He waits and he waits and he waits, and he has an idea of what the garden is going to look like. You and I don't have an idea of what the garden is going to look like. He's got the plan. We don't have the plan. He's the planner. We're not the planner. Just the way it is. But he says there are two things I need. I need your company because I love you. I need your obedience because you owe that to me, and frankly, you need to obey me more than I need it. Meaning, like, I will not be conformed into his image. I will not, these things in my life, they will still be there. They will be the things that help destroy me. And no parent wants things to stay in a child's life that will help destroy them. Nobody does. So those are very important. He's not going to force me. Okay? But he's not going to walk away either. Both speak of his love. He's on point. And I can reject him every day. Every day I can reject him. And right there, he's not going to force me, but he's not going to walk away. He's still pushing the same points. That's patience. That's patience. And patience has a plan. You can be, you know, someone says, okay, wait a minute, wait. And the reason why you can do that, you're kind of on the edge, is that, you know, mainly because, you know, there's a plan. Okay, success is coming if I wait. Basically, it's in the back of all of our heads. Success will happen if I wait. So God is like waiting, because success will happen. But he's waiting in his patience, and there's an activity in his patience to change me, to get me to obey, to get me to connect with him. There is a lot to God's patience. There really is. And it's a powerful force in the world today. The world is not spinning without the patience of God. And I am not breathing without his patience. You know, what if there was an exact number of sins the Christian was allowed to commit before they went to heaven?
I don't think any of us would make it because we sin every day, whether we knowingly sin or we unknowingly sin. We every single person.
Yeah. So we offend. We offend a lot. We offend on purpose, and we offend accidentally. You know. But here's the thing: the issue with God is the heart. He says, "My son, give me your heart." And we will find that we offend less. It will be the case. Mm-hmm. You know, but this portion that we read was purposeful offense. And that's what I'm speaking about tonight. There is this thing that we can kind of shake our fist, but because of incredible forgetfulness. I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to what have you. And it's scary because I see it just more and more in the world. And it makes sense because the Bible's clear that, you know, the last days more and more these things will be. But ladies, this is what I've been thinking about this. We don't have to be that. An entire nation was wicked, except a couple of people whose names you might have heard of, Joshua and Caleb. I don't have to be. I don't have to. The Bible says, do not run with a multitude to do evil. Well, we were all together and do not run with a multitude to do evil. I am to walk. And like, I can walk with God. He is patient. He is. Mm-hmm. But I would not like it to be there. That let's say I'm his daughter, and I am, but let's say I'm there where those people were, and I'm acting like they are. Wouldn't that be horrific? Mm-hmm. Would you ever, wouldn't it be horrific if you, when you have that, if you have a family member, maybe who, if anyone had ever been betrayed or somebody's come against you, and they are, and David talked about that, and he said, my closest friend has lifted up his heel against me. Came against me. It's kind of shocking. So I don't want to be like this crew here. I don't want to be so forgetful. Every day is a reason. Every evening is a reason. It can be you can listen to a message like this and be out to lunch afterwards. And God has something to say. People could have listened to last night's message and not ruled their own spirit. It happened. It actually did. It's like, here's the deal. Like, God says, I can receive. He's given me, and I am to take that. And I am to walk with him. Because he's so good to me, I don't want to wound him. So that's a challenge. We don't want to take advantage of God's patience. I would rather rejoice in it. I don't want to take advantage of it. That's grace. I receive grace of God's patience and I give him back my obedience. Because I say thank you. I say thank you for everything. Just thank you. Make sense? Any comment or question? I know this is a little heavier than what we've had in the past or what have you, but it's so important. It scares me a little bit. That we can do this. We can, like, I mean, if you ever have someone, like, you know, love you, hug you, you know, everything, you're the world, it's amazing, whatever. And then, like, maybe at work, sometimes that happens, you know, you're the bestest. And, you know, like, seconds later, they, you know, you're taking the knife out of your back. you know, you're like, wow, that was fast, you know? I mean, wow, that, I didn't even know you could stab that quick. Right? You know, we've all, or in school, when you're in high school or when you're whatever, that happens really fast. You know, people are best friends one day and the next day they're not. And it's like, it's amazing. Kids can be very cruel in a moment. You know, and this is what the world is like to each other. But I don't have to be like the world. Right? I don't have to be like the world. Things can be different. And I don't really need to be like, I can receive. I don't want that. I want, there's a simplicity in living before God that said, that has ever before me the fragrances of all that God has done for me on a daily basis. That the sweet smelling savor, the fragrances of all that God has done for me. The fragrances of the believers around me and my relationships with them. And that I don't want to lose that. But that takes sometimes meditation. Does that make sense? You have to like remember that. Because the world is living such in a what have you done for me lately? You know? We can lose, we could celebrate, even with us, we can celebrate the merging of the church and then we could be at each other's throats a day later. We could celebrate that God has answered prayer for this many years and like however a few days later we want to whatever. It's possible, right? We have to drink that stuff in and we have to refresh ourselves in it. Lest we become hypocritical. For those who love the merger and that, there's other people, we didn't have a building. We could say, I mean, I just keep trying to meditate on that. How long ago? And the connection and being able to meet and to reach York and just to celebrate what God celebrates. To celebrate Him, to celebrate what He's done, and to celebrate His people at all times. Him, what He's done, and His people. Him, what He's done, and His people. Him, if He's done nothing else, I have every reason to celebrate God. But guess what? I have 10 million reasons because of what He's done. And guess what else? His people. There are people I can point to. There are things I am thankful for. There are people, like, we owe debts, owe no man anything but to love Him. Love, love, and love. We owe debts of honor and gratitude to each other. And yes, we have to control our spirit to remember, because there is a whole world that acts like this group of people. And it's scary. We don't want to be like them. I mean, honestly, when I read this, that one verse, I wept, because he says, what shall I do? It's like he was at a loss. I've sent messengers to tell them. I gave them the land. I don't understand. What shall I do? What more could God do, ladies, for us than He has already done? Do you and I have a charge we can bring against Him, really? Are we upset over something? Really? Sometimes the world is upside down in our minds. And before we know it, we are like with a multitude in our thinking of evil. We are shaking a fist at the very God who saved our soul. And we look at our fist and we realize, oh my gosh, when did that happen? I'm sitting here at the workplace gossiping with them. When did that happen? I'm not like you. I'm sitting over here ready to just, you know, go at this. Whoa. I'm not like the world. I'm over here upset because God didn't do this or come through or whatever. Oh, wait a minute. That's not what a daughter does. I can be angry because of my kids. I can be angry because of my husband. I can be angry because I don't have a husband. I can be angry. Honestly, take your pick, and Satan will be whispering in the ear, go, you have a right, Latasha. You have a right to be selfish. Who the heck does that person think they are? And there he is in heaven, Mr. Patience. Tonight, every one of us has a reason to get on our knees and thank God for his patience. Every one of us has that. He doesn't really owe us another thing. He doesn't need to fix anything. We got it good. I don't know all of you so well, but I can walk around this room and tell you just from what I've seen, I can point out 10 things in each one of your lives to be thankful for, that you could be thankful for. And you could point out at least 10, if not 20, if not 30, I should be thankful for. And that's barely knowing each other. I know we can count the sins, but can we count the blessings?
I used to not be able to recognize the blessing. Many things that I took for granted that God does for us every day. And I was one of those people that would never really talk to God that much unless I needed something from him. And you know what I started to learn, especially these past few months, I've really been feeling convicted about a lot of things. And I know that's the way that I need to purge all the guilt feelings and the things that I have inside me and just move on from them. And I'm finally able to do that. But I was so busy wrapped up in my life and what I wanted God to do for me that I didn't even take a moment to acknowledge the things that he effortlessly does for us every single day. And now I'm learning to thank him for everything. When I open my eyes in the morning, that in itself is a blessing because he doesn't have to let us live to see another day. And having a roof over my head when I thought that I wasn't going to have anywhere to go when I left my mom's house, God provided that for me. God provides everything I have, and I realize that now. And I'm not going to be ungrateful, and I'm not going to live like I'm doing it on my own anymore. Because that way it wasn't working out very well.
Never does.
Sure does it.
Yeah, well, it's easy, right? It's easy to be so unthankful and to justify it. And then carry it over into our attitude toward other people and toward the things around us.
Yes.
Ladies, the one thing you will never have to struggle against, I mean, oh God, I wish I could just be more selfish. Help me. All you have to do is wake up every morning and guess what? It's right there. It's just there. Every afternoon, every evening, it's all right there. But we don't have to live in that. I'm saying we have a patient God. But because I have a patient God, it makes me want to run for him. You know what I'm saying? It makes you want to run for him. Because you look up and you say, okay, all right, I fell, I'm going to get up again. It's kind of like a mom when your baby took her first steps, right? And you kind of step far back and the baby, and you first want to half freak out because you realize babies are resilient. He'll get up. Don't freak out. Keep your face smiling. Even the kids go, and then they run to you, and you're like, "Why you did it? You did it!" And your franticness, you ran because that's God. That's God's patience with us. He steps back, but he really would like for me to move forward. He steps back so that I can move forward. You know, God could have, in that parable we read today, God could have set all of his henchmen in and whatever, but he kept giving them opportunity. He kept actually stepping back to encourage them to move forward, but they chose not to. But I can say, man, look at that. God, you've put up with so much, like Cindy just said. Okay. By the time I really wake up, it's embarrassing. So I'm going to just go with it. Because you waited out this long, you deserve better than this. Like I said, he desires my company, but he requires my obedience. And he's not going to lower that bar. You know, the bar is high for a reason. You know, like, you don't want, you're not going to, your little kid's, I don't want to get up. You know, he's struggling by, and so he just goes back down on his hands and knees. You don't give up on that, do you? Do you say, that's all right. You know what? You can crawl the rest of your life. That's all right, honey. You go right ahead. I don't care what other people say about you. You crawl. You know, this 30 a minute crawl and, you know. No, you know, that's horrific. But people do that. That's what they lower that bar in school. That's all right. You can just keep misspelling everything like there's no tomorrow. And I'm like, you are not preparing this child for life. You do not love this child. And God is patient, but he has not lowered the bar. He's not interested in the Christian crawling. Look at you! How old are you? 25. You know, it's like, no, God is not interested in a crawling Christian. So he will keep stepping back, and he will keep waiting. And you could, if you said, well, I think I've done too much, I think I'm whatever. Honey, if you're still breathing, apparently he's still waiting. He's very kind of like basic like that. Simple. If I'm still breathing, then there must be something still in the, there must be still a plan for me. There's something else I'm supposed to do. I know people sometimes struggle. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm like, I get that. Like I said, we're ignorant. But the one thing we don't have to be ignorant of is the fact that there must be something, because I'm still breathing. Because when my shift is over, I will not be breathing anymore. But I miss so much. I get what you're saying. Okay, pat on the back. But listen, the reality is you're still breathing. God is simple. Breath dictates purpose. And when there is no more breath, then the opportunity is gone. So, if, even in your worst hour, even in my worst hour, we can encourage ourselves that way. If we have nothing else to say to God, we can at least say, okay, I got another breath going, you know, so there must be something more. There must be something more.
I just really like the picture of God as a parent saying, like, I enjoy your company, but I require your obedience. So that just made a lot of things make a lot of sense. You know, like working with all the Bible club kids or just any of the kids, you know, it's, they can be a lot of fun and they're very enjoyable, but it is absolutely required that when it comes down to, if we ask them to do something, they must do it. That's the only way you really have fun. And if they have their own agenda or their own thing going on, it just gets so crazy. It's just takes away from everything.
Else?
I know, because he shows me so much patience, I in turn have to show that patience to others, especially working with the public. And I have to pray for that patience.
Yeah, it's an interesting, we're going to talk about it next week. So you're kind of segueing, so I don't want to cheat it, but, you know, there's definitely a difference between patience and mercy, and there's something about that. Patience speaks of the strength of the giver of it, meaning, like, if I'm patient, it speaks of my strength, not of anyone else, like, all the attention is on me. Do you understand what I mean? Like, if I'm patient, all the attention is on me, not on what I'm patient about, because there is restraint. There's power and there's restraint. I could, like, say, like, in your job, I could really tell you what I think. I could, you know, if I'm, you know, or I could really, I could take it to you, kick you out of here, get in that RV and turn around. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, but I'm patient, and I don't. I just kind of look at you as you make demands and say things, and you're ungrateful, even though you've been given 1 inch, you took a mile, and everything that I would love to say, I don't. Mm-hmm. I go quiet, and I just, and that's patience. There is a quietness about God. The heavens are quiet right now. They are quiet. And that's why the world thinks that God is non-existent, because he is quiet. Mm-hmm. Because there's a quietness about patience. It actually thinks, and I can think that that's fine, but it's interesting. But quietness is not an act of weakness. There's purpose in it. And it's actual, it's what my gift to you is, if I'm in your job, if I'm to that person, my gift to you is restraint and time.
It's funny you said that, because I just threw some money out. But I was patient, we were patient with them.
Yeah, but eventually, that's what I'm saying, there's time, but there's a reckoning.
Right.
There's a reckoning. One of two things will happen. Either you will change, or it will be over.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
Either the world will accept Christ, or it's over. Do you understand?
Right.
And even God, in his patience with Christians, there is a patience where he, while in time, there is a patience that God has. But if I eventually don't listen to him, then there's a scripture that talks about that God brings me to heaven earlier than I should have gone.
Mm-hmm.
There is a sin. And John the Apostle talks about it, that is unto physical death. Meaning like, I can push his buttons. So maybe I live in sin. Maybe I live in whatever, fornication, and as a Christian, repeatedly. So I don't worry about someone, oh, so-and-so, do you want to tell? I'm like, honestly, I'll tell them, you know, this is sin, this is not right. But honestly, if you continue, they're not my child, they're God's. And if I, just like a mother or father will chastise or will punish, God will chastise. He does it for your correction. And if you continue not to listen, God has a program for that too in his patience. Remember I said he doesn't let go. He doesn't change his mind about me, but he doesn't hold back either. He's still going after my obedience and my fellowship. And if he can't get that as a Christian, then eventually he brings me home early. You know? So he's patient, but the idea of patience is that there's an end eventually.
Mm-hmm.
Is patient.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, but what they don't like, and that's when they run over, like, okay, they killed God's son, right? In this story we read. I mean, not God, it was a picture of God's son. But there was a reckoning, because what will he do? Oh, he's coming.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That's the other side. I've had people, like, take advantage of my patience, whatever. And I understood in a working place, whatever, it comes to a point. And then one day, out of nowhere, okay, I'm good. I quit. Thank you very much. Their eyes are huge, whatever. They're just shocked, you know. They thought that, like, but I thought that, No, there's a reckoning. I'm sweet about it. I'm on my way out the door. But, you know, and I've had God come through, whatever, and it's amazing. Like, I've had it in many other situations. Like, because, yeah, this is the difference. I can afford to be patient because I have a God who's got my back.
Mm-hmm.
I can afford to be patient. Not because I'm all powerful, but because he's all powerful.
Mm-hmm.
So I can afford to have patience within self-contained patience. You know? But yeah, we'll talk more about that. I think there's more to say. Because I do think there's so much to say about it, but we'll talk more about that. But it's interesting. Oh, amen. Well, God bless. Business as usual. God. Also, I mean, I'm sure Katrina may have approached many of you, but Pastor Jay would like to, you know, knockety knock knock. He wants to visit each home in the church this year. So, you know, just to Katrina will be approaching you if she hasn't already, if there was a time that he could just come with Anne Marie, his wife, and just spend a little time to get to know, which I think is great.
Thank you.
You know, it's a blessing in the home, you know, so.
I think that's amazing because I've never, in all my time and years going to different churches, never once has a pastor said, hey, you know, can we come to your house and sit and talk with you for a while? Like, never. Never, ever. Yeah. That just amazed me. When I was approached about it, I think Catherine said something to me first. And then I was like, now wait, what does he want to do? She said he wants to come to your house and visit with you and get to know you a little bit, you know, outside of church. I was like, awesome. I'm cool with that. Like, maybe that's a more relaxed atmosphere, like you're in your own home.
Yeah, I mean, it's good. I mean, sometimes there are things you actually don't necessarily maybe want to say in public, or you want to be something of prayer, or, and also it's nice. It connects you, you know, and helps him, I think, also with the needs of the congregation. Like, what should we talk about? And, you know, that's a great time to say, listen, I'd love if you would speak about this, or what have you. And, you know, it's your moment. You know what, Pastor? I would like to see. I want my own personal seat. No, I'm just kidding.
Can we trade the pews out for a comfortable chair?
You know, I would like to sing every service at the end.
That's your job, though. I don't want to take that from you.
But, you know, it's just, you know, it's fun, though. But he does want ideas. You know, he's always asking for that and input and different things. And, you know, this is our church, collectively. O-U-R. Our church. So, you know, I think it's great. And we're such a diverse church, it's important, too. Because otherwise you can end up ministering only to one group of people and whatever. You know, that's my big prayer. I'm like, Lord, please keep the diversity. And let the diversity grow. Let it not become one type of church or one whatever style. Or let's just, I'm very excited. This Sunday there's a couple singing and Pastor Jay, you know, him singing with his wife was so cute. Oh, you missed it. Pastor Jay sang with Anne Marie. Very cute. Very cute, you know. Like, you know, he's kind of country. It's cute, you know. And then this Sunday's a little different. And then we have a special guest, not this Sunday, but next Sunday. I won't say who their name is, but they're sitting here in the room somewhere. But they are special guests, and they'll be singing. And we're excited over that.
And volunteer to drive it.
Caitlin, like little, just maybe some little flyer.
I'm not afraid. God is patient. God makes us patient. I'm not afraid to go slowly so that we have our feet under us. Mm-hmm. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. Rather than, what you know, when your feet aren't under you, what do? You hit your face first. Mm-hmm. So I want our feet under us for Bible Club. The Bible Club where we're at has to expand. Mm-hmm. We have to get bigger space. I mean, that's a big issue for us. These are all God's problems. Because if I'm not careful, it becomes our problems. Okay? So food pantry, yes. Funding, whatever. These are so small to God. But we need our feet under us. So I think this is getting our feet under us. We build us up, and then we are able to build York up. And then people will be attracted to the us. What I've seen is a lot of organizations or whatever, they're active, but I think the people, they burn out so quick because they're not built up. So we want to build up, we want to build community among ourselves, and at the same time, reaching out flyers. But at the same time, I want this 20 years from now, I'm not interested in us disappearing. I'm interested in the next generation taking this mm-hmm. and ministering. I'm interested mm-hmm. in the effect of York, maybe in places we didn't expect. Mm-hmm. So in order for that to happen, that means everyone in this room, you matter a lot because this is the very beginning. We're in such, I mean, we're not, technically Easter Sunday was the grand opening. We are so brand new. So let's encourage us. That's why I said encourage yourselves. I understand warfare. Let's just, and we'll take it a little at a time, but I don't want you not to dream. That's why I throw it out there, not for action. Okay, tomorrow we need to hit this, you know, in the sense of the food bank needs to be every week. But I do like, okay, let's get some flyers. You're going to visit some parents. Let's get that kind of, because the inspector came by today about the trash, and we're talking to him, and he's like, you know what? I came in because, because now I see all this activity in here. I wanted to see what's going on, whatever. Like, I like that. Let's get people knowing that this is a place that cares. that we care for you. We haven't even begun really just to walk the neighborhoods and like, we care, that we just care. That stuff, it catches, you know what I mean? It catches because it just does. And we'll just take our time with it, but dream big, but take your time. Dream big, but take your time. In a moment, things can change. Because in a moment, we became a church here together. In a moment, prayers, the end of your prayer happens in a moment. You can pray for something for 15 years and it's over in 1 second. You can pray for something for a month and it's over in a second. So God can do all of this. Let's believe him for it. But okay, God, we're going to move at your pace. And just, you know, and get ourselves, because you're going to be the leaders. You're going to, because there'll be people who will, like, look at your life and they'll be responding to God because watching you. Like the woman in John 4. The entire town got saved because this woman, they looked at her life and they said she's remarkably different in a minute. So let's think that way. Take our time. We're not afraid, but we're not afraid of time. But we're blessed and amazed and believing that God's going to do great things. And what, you know, that'll be great, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm excited.
Okay. On the order of the food pantry, mm-hmm. this Saturday before Mother's Day, okay. we have postal food drive. So we will need people at the church to sort food and look at dates. So if we don't start that till about 4 o'clock, mm-hmm. because of when the postal trucks come back and mm-hmm. load it up in the truck or van or whatever. And bring
so what
it
time do you need us there?
About 4.
Okay. So
until we're done.
Until we're done.
Don't have to worry about being done because the Haitians are not there to have service.
Okay.
So if it doesn't get mm-hmm. done, we do
then
what we can.
The next day. Yeah.
Okay, so that's good. So let's say Saturday at 4. Or if you could say commit to some hours after church on Sunday.
Yep.
So commit to us Saturday from 4 or a few hours. And can you explain? No, I don't know what this postal food drive is.
Okay. What we do they started this, I think, like 25 years ago, where they send out postcards or flyers or whatever to the residents and everything. And they tell you that the postal drivers will pick up food by your mailbox and they take it back to East York. They have different agencies that they take food to in different, like in Dover area, and they have a big post office in West York where certain pantries will pick up food in West York at certain times. But we, Connie and I, go out to East York and pick up food. And usually there's two other agencies there, and we just do, you know, the every other one, you know, and, you know, the next time a truck comes in, we just take turns doing that. So whatever food we get is what we take back to the pantry and sort, and that helps us to give out food on the third Tuesday.
Okay.
Then we don't have to buy.
Right, and this is important because the budget of the pantry is very, very small, so they depend upon things like these in order to feed the families that we do feed. So if any help, if maybe even if you can give an hour after church on Sunday, even if you can give an hour on Saturday, just it would be good. And I think it's important, like, this Bible study, why don't we support that? Why don't we, like, get behind it and try to give an hour or so and just to help out, like, on Saturday and Sunday. And try to be there. So just try to be there. So Saturday from any time, let's say between 4 and 9, and then let's say on Sunday, anytime after church, you know, maybe between, say, 12 and 4. And people can just help out with whatever they can. I think that would be great.